like tangible things, don't we? Things that we can kind of touch, hold, something that we can empirically prove that it's true or that it exists. And then if you just watch the news or pick up the newspaper, not only do we like tangible things, but we like fantastic things. Things that are kind of dramatic. The things that catch our attention. So when the gospel begins with Jesus' ministry of healing and casting out demons, it kind of intrigues us. But what we often overlook is that what he is about is not the dramatic healings, though he did many of them. It's not even about the fantastic exorcisms, though he also did many of them as well. What Jesus is about is the message. The message of the inbreaking of God's kingdom into our here and now. And our need to repent and believe in order to become residents and citizens of that kingdom. But what is the kingdom of God? We struggle with it because it's not something really tangible that we can grasp onto and hold and empirically prove. One thing I can tell you, it is certainly not the government anywhere in this world as we know it. But sadly, it's often not even found within many churches. It was said before the colonists imposed national boundaries, the kings of Laos and Vietnam reached an agreement on taxation in the border areas. On the one hand, those who ate short grain rice, built their houses on stilts, and decorated them with Indian-style serpents were considered Laotians. On the other hand, those who ate long grain rice, built their houses on the ground, decorated them with Chinese-style dragons, they were considered Vietnamese. See, the exact location of the person's home was not what determined his or her nationality. Instead, each person belonged to the kingdom whose cultural values he or she exhibited. So what values do we exhibit? Are they the kingdom of God's values? Or the kingdom of Earth's values? See, Dallas Willard explains it this way. He says, the kingdom is present wherever people pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. The kingdom is present wherever Jesus nurtures certain behaviors and lifestyles that we would call the fruits of the Spirit. The kingdom is present wherever a believer somewhere refuses to go along with some scheme because they believe it's untruthful. Or whenever or wherever a believer refuses to participate in a sinful activity, whenever and wherever someone brings light into a neighbor's darkness by speaking a word of peace and truth into their lives. The kingdom is there whenever and wherever someone sits down to tutor a homeless child or help someone that needs a hand. Whenever and wherever all such things are done because these people believe that there is a cosmic Lord named Jesus. Then, right there, at that moment, the kingdom of God is present because the effective will of Jesus is calling the shots. But it comes down to understanding what is it that we truly value. Sadly, we are bombarded in our culture with values of commercialism, with the values of capitalism, with the values of personal and individual rights. But how often do we allow ourselves to be bombarded with the values that Jesus demands? Do we repent and believe? Or do we merely give lip service to seeking out the kingdom which is here and now, while really just seeking Jesus to kind of do the neat stuff in our lives? You know, we want Jesus to heal us. We want Jesus to make our lives happy and good and pleasant. We want the miraculous stuff. But do we truly want Jesus? Well, there's a story where a gang of thieves broke into a jewelry store. But see, they were on a mission with a little different twist than we would think, because they didn't steal a thing. But they carefully went around the entire shop and switched all the price tags. And they did such a great job that the next day when the staff came in, they hadn't noticed that anyone had been there at all. And then customers came and people started spending huge amounts of money on cheap junk, while others were paying just a couple of dollars on jewelry worth thousands. Well, someone has switched the price tags on our planet. We are continually bombarded with this different set of values from those of the kingdom of God. We yearn for what we think is valuable, but what we're really purchasing is just a bauble in the eyes of God. We often seek Jesus for healings, for the miraculous, and when things aren't what we determine that they should be, we easily delve back into the world without much of a second thought. I think this is where the Isaiah passage kind of wonderfully is paired up with our gospel this morning. Because as the Israelites are complaining, God replies, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" And then he goes on again. It's just, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." And then I love, actually, the very end of it. Because I don't know about you, if you're a runner, I would love to be able to run and not grow weary. See, we have the answer. It's just that we don't always like what the answer is, since it often means that we need to trust and have faith in something we can't always grasp. It often means letting go of our idea how life should work, giving up our so-called rights for God's rights. It means repenting, believing, waiting on God, because then he promises us his kingdom. And this is where the gospel is so compelling. Jesus knows exactly what his purpose is, and that's to preach the message. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. But I love it because he also knows us. And he knows that we need some tangible things to hold on to. So he heals some to reveal the power and the truth backing up what he's declaring. Yet in it all, in his life, in his ministry, everything is rooted in his relationship with God the Father. See, if our lives are not rooted in our relationship with God the Father, in our relationship with Jesus, then honestly our message is pretty hollow. Our actions are meaningless, and our busyness will ultimately exhaust us rather than producing the kingdom here and now. I like the way Corey Ten Boom puts it. She says, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" It's a great question. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? See, even Maggie knows. Because often it's our spare tire, isn't it? The thing we quickly throw on when life goes off the rails. It's tempting to forget that Jesus' call to believe and God's desire for us to wait on him is for every moment. Every moment of every day, no matter where we are or what we're doing. See, we aren't just to believe when we have these dramatic answers to prayer. We aren't just to wait on him when it's convenient and fits in our schedule. But we are human. And I love the line that Oscar Wilde in his play, The Lady Windermere's Fan, has one of his characters say, because Lord Darlington says it pretty aptly, "I couldn't help it. I can resist everything except temptation." And we're often tempted to live in the world because it's where we are. We're often tempted to ignore God during the week because it's so easy to. And yet the image of Simon's mother-in-law, I just love. Immediately getting up and serving is such a wonderful image of giving back out of what she had just received. See, each of us, through the resurrection, has received the full healing from the sin that has barred us from the kingdom of God. So what is our response to that healing? Do we jump up and want to serve Jesus? Or do we fall into the temptation of ignoring it and living for the world, living for ourselves? See, sometimes it might mean true sacrifice. And I thought about this as yesterday was the 75th anniversary of the sinking of the Dorchester on February 3rd, 1943. Now, for those of you that might not know the story, the Dorchester was transporting army troops to Greenland, and it was escorted by 3 Coast Guard cutters and 2 slow-moving freighters. On board were some 900 troops and 4 chaplains. Reverend George Fox, who was a Methodist, Father John Washington, who was a Roman Catholic priest, Rabbi Alexander Good, who was Jewish, and Reverend Clark Poling, who is Dutch Reformed. At approximately 12:55, the Dorchester was hit by a torpedo fired by a German U-boat in an area that was known as Torpedo Junction. And the 4 chaplains acted together to try and bring some order to the chaos that ensued, to calm the panic that in so many of the men, to alleviate the fear and the terror, and to pray with and for them, and to help save lives. So the chaplains passed out life jackets to everyone that came by and helping those too panicked to put them on correctly until the point came when there were no more jackets. It was at this point that each one of the 4 chaplains took off their own life jacket and put it on a soldier who didn't have one, refusing to listen to any protest. These 4 continued to help the troops until the very last moment. It is said that as the ship sank into the frigid waters, the 4 chaplains were seen linking arms and hands together and were heard praying and singing hymns as they perished that evening. They made the ultimate sacrifice so that others might live. Now, we might not be called by God to do something that dramatic. I pray that none of us are called to do something that dramatic. And yet every Sunday we do pray in the Eucharist, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Those 4 chaplains lived that out. Are we willing to? See, the kingdom of God is what our vision should be about. It's what our mission in life should be about. The kingdom of God should be the core of who we are, not merely an afterthought. The kingdom of God is what we are meant to be, not just here at church or when we're doing church activities, but when we're at work, when we're at the gym, when we're at school, when we're driving in traffic, when we're on our phones, when we're just being with our friends and family. See, each morning we should be asking, "God, how can you use me today? God, what can I do in mission for you as I seek to live as a citizen of your kingdom?" See, the kingdom of God is both a present reality all around us, as well as a vision of what we as Christians should be working towards in our lives to bring about in the future. Amen. Amen.